Welcome to Horsepower to Hyperloops, Kettering University's official podcast, where we serve up a smorgasbord of fascinating people, groundbreaking ideas, and noteworthy advancements in fields as diverse as mobility, healthcare, engineering, and technology.
The Robotics Education and Competition Foundation, or RECF, REC or RECF is fine as well. We are about ready to host the 2024 VEX Robotics World Championship in Dallas, Texas. It will start at the end of April and go through the first week of May. It is the largest robotics competition in the world. We've had Guinness attend the event three times now and certify it. This year we'll have over 2,500 teams from 75 countries will attend the event. And it's actually a culmination of our season that launched last summer. And this past year, we had 34,000 teams compete in our VEX Robotics competitions. That's the VEX IQ program in elementary school, the VEX IQ or the VEX VRC programs in middle school, the VEX VRC program for high school, as well as the VEX U team for universities.
Hi, I'm Tim Troop Noonan, and that was Kettering University grad Dan Mance, CEO of the Texas-based Robotics Education and Competition Foundation, talking about the VEX Robotics World Championships coming up in a couple of weeks in Dallas. In a wide-ranging discussion, we talked about the vast reach of the RECF in supporting robotics education and competition in thousands of programs and competitions throughout the world, and its ventures into drones, virtual reality, and other cutting-edge technologies. Dan Mance, thank you for being with us today on Horsepower to Hyperloops. We're talking to you. You're sitting there in, I think, Greenville, Texas, just north of Dallas, on the cusp of the VEX Robotics World Championships. And so let's start with telling me a little bit about the championships, which are coming up very soon, and the REC Foundation.
Well, thanks, Tim. First of all, I appreciate you having me on today. I've enjoyed your other episodes as a Kettering grad. I find them interesting when I come across, and I never thought I'd have an opportunity to be on one. So thank you so much.
But thank you. Well, we've been wanting to have you on for a while, actually. So you didn't know it, but you've been on the list.
Well, that's good. Well, this is perfect timing because, as you said, the Robotics Education and Competition Foundation, or RECF, REC or RECF is fine as well. We are about ready to host the 2024 VEX Robotics World Championship in Dallas, Texas. It will start at the end of April and go through the first week of May. It is the largest robotics competition in the world. We've had Guinness attend the event three times now and certify it. This year, we'll have over 2,500 teams from 75 countries will attend the event. And it's actually a culmination of our season that launched last summer. And this past year, we had 34,000 teams compete in our VEX Robotics competitions. That's the VEX IQ program in elementary school, the VEX IQ or the VEX VRC programs in middle school, the VEX VRC program for high school, as well as the VEX U team for universities. The VEX VRC program for high school, as well as the VEX U team for universities. And then Kettering themselves actually has a VEX U team. So again, over 34,000 teams competed, and through the process of qualifying matches at the local, then state and regional, and of course, national levels, the top teams will descend on Dallas for the World Championship. We're super excited. Kettering University, again, is our academic sponsor for this year. This will be the third year. They bring a great staff to the event and have a great exhibit as well. So we're really pleased that we're partnering with Kettering University again at the World Robotics Championship. So that's a little bit about VEX Worlds. It's open to the public. So we invite anybody that's in the area that's interested in attending to stop by and see what we do over the course of 10 days.
Give us a little bit, again, the dates and the location in Dallas.
Sure. It starts the last week of April, and we start with the VRC high school teams. So that's 840 high school teams from 70 countries. They will compete first. Once the high school championship is done on, I think it's April 27th, that is the conclusion of the high school, we move over to the VRC middle school program, which will start on April 28th. And so the VRC middle school, again, is middle school teams from across the world. But at that event, we also have our VEX-U championship. So 100 of the top university teams will also compete for those 3 days. And we also host the JRTC National Robotics Championship. So 4 years ago, JRTC selected the REC Foundation to be their partner for robotics.
And what is JRTC? JRTC?
JRTC. A matter of fact, the Navy, the Air Force, Space Force, Coast Guard, Marines have teams. And then, of course, the Army has the most amount of teams. We had over 450 Army JRTC teams this year. So the top 160 JRTC teams across all of the branches will also compete for their national championship starting on April 28th. So the VRC Middle School, JRTC, and VEX-U competition will end on May 1st. And then we'll conclude the VEX Robotics World Championship with the IQ Middle School and Elementary School events. Again, that'll be 840 teams from probably over 70 countries will travel to the United States to compete in that event. So,
and what's JRTC stand for? What are those?
It's the Armed Forces Junior Officer Training. And so they have, they're most probably known for example, drill and rifle. And they saw a need to expand into technology. And about 7 years ago, we started the discussions with JRTC, and they selected the REC Foundation to be their partner for robotics.
Side question, kind of silly, but I just thought about it. 70 countries. Is there ever a language problem in anything in one of these competitions, or is robotics like music an international language?
Well, there's both, actually, and that's a great question. So, I mean, this year we'll have competitions in close to 100 countries. Now, not all countries will travel to the United States for the world championship. So, but we're close into 100 companies. And yes, language is a barrier. But as one of my things I like to talk about is I also think there's this thing called the language of robotics, and it's universal, and it actually tears down walls. And you see it at VEX Robotics World Championship. So you'll have a team, say, from China, or a team from Korea, or a team from Germany, and they'll be competing against a team from Dallas, Texas, or from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And while there's a language barrier, everybody understands how the competition works, and they will collaborate. They will find a way to communicate, whether it's translations using, you know, Google Translator, whether it's pointing, but they find a way to communicate with each other. Because in our competitions, you always play with another team. So again, you may be with a team from China, the team from Grand Rapids, Michigan, may be with a team from China, and they will find a way to communicate and have that match. And it's actually one of the things that I like most about the VEX Robotics World Championship is these countries, these different cultures all coming together. But at the end of the day, everybody gets along really, really well, because they're all there for the same reason. And again, they speak this common language called robotics.
Well, now I'm going to get you to do something, Dan, which we hadn't discussed, but I have been to a couple of robotics competitions at Kettering in the athletic area, and it's a huge open area. And it's an extraordinary, I don't know, it's a buzzing energy. It's an amazing thing to watch. So for those who might want to come and have never been to one, give me a little description of what it's like on the floor of a robotics competition, sights, sounds, energy, what that's like, because I find it extraordinary.
Yeah, Tim, I love what you said, buzzing energy. I really, really like that. And, you know, in the early days of competitive robotics, I think everybody wanted to compare it to athletics. And there's still a tendency to do that. But, you know, robotics is so huge now. And you know, half of the states in the U.S. recognize robotics as a varsity activity, for example. So I don't want to pigeonhole it to athletics, but it is that sense of teamwork and competition. There's definitely a buzz. You're excited, right? In our case, we run a year-round program. So we announce our games at the Vex Robotics World Championship. Some of the top teams will actually start working on the program in the summer. But when schools kick off, they really go into, you know, full excitement. And our teams compete an average of 5 times a season. We'll have teams that only compete twice and some will compete 12 times. But during the process, there is this iterative approach to the design. The REC Foundation, we really, really believe in the iterative design process, which is why we allow so many events. And so what happens at an event is a team has been working on a new design, a new mechanism, and they're excited to see if that mechanism works. And they're meeting sometimes old friends, you know, teams they've competed with before, and sometimes they're meeting new people. So for example, the Kettering, you know, hosts the Vex Robotics State Championship for high school this past season. And so you'll have teams from all over Michigan have gotten together and they're excited to compete for the state championship and to qualify for Vex Worlds, but also to meet friends, to show off what they've been working on all season. And what I like most about our competitions is not the technical innovation, although you see incredible progress with mechanisms and four-bar link systems and motor power. You know, we learn the technology, but it's more about the job skills, the communications, the problem solving, the on-the-fly flexibility. I mean, you go to an event and you have a strategy and some other team has schemed against your strategy and they're playing defense. So now you have to step back, assess what happened, and make, you know, real-time changes to your strategy. You may want to make real-time changes to your robot to strengthen something that turned out to be a weakness in your design. So it's that whole buzz of the competition, but also of making and being with friends. It's truly remarkable. And again, you don't have to travel to Dallas, Texas to go to a Vex Robotics competition. We have hundreds of competitions in Michigan throughout the season. You know, Kettering has graduates across the world. I guarantee you that your state has competitions because this year the REC Foundation hosted over 3,300 competitions. That's right, 3,300 competitions. And all it's over not the world. Just Vex Robotics, it's also our drones competitions as well.
Well, and I want to get into that a little bit, but I want to spend one more minute on what I found when I go into the Kettering thing and the competition there is that there's 3 or 4 different arenas that have been set up and there's kids watching and there's announcers and they're announcing almost like a sporting event, except there's 2 or 3 of them going on at a time. Kids are cheering and kids are yelling. And inside the arena, there's a set of, and help me understand this. Well, the robots, which can be the size of, I don't know, a small mini fridge or something, are running around trying to complete these tasks, put balls in hoops and everything. The other team is doing the same thing. So there's all this sort of complex structures inside, and they're trying to beat the clock and beat the other team, and people are cheering. And it's like the last 5 minutes of an ACC basketball game with the cheers. But the energy in there in that is extraordinary. But on the floor, have I described that correctly in terms of the size of the robots and the fact that they're trying to do these different tasks and the tasks are different for every competition or every year? So they have to, these kids go to after school for months to design the program to the tasks of the upcoming competition. Is that correct?
Yeah. The REC Foundation and Vex Robotics releases a new challenge every single year. And, you know, 2 years ago, for example, the challenge was looked very much like frisbee golf. It was intaking small discs and shooting them into a net. You know, this year's high school challenge is what we call try balls. They kind of look like acorns, and it's getting them over a barrier and scoring them in a low goal. And it's purposely a low goal so that's not a shooting game. It's a collaboration game of passing the try balls and scoring them under the net, right? For our elementary and middle school programs, it's 3 different block sizes, and you're trying to stack them. And the more blocks you get into a scoring area, the more points you get. But there's also levels. So there's a strategy of starting with large blocks and then going to smaller blocks, right? But we change that challenge every single year And the energy is correct, is that every year you're trying to develop a new strategy for that year's game. And we call it the game dynamic. We try to change it from year to year. Some years, the focus is on engineering the best mechanism possible for shooting a ball or shooting a disc. And some years, it's more about driving and collaboration or maybe about defense. So that dynamic changes every year. And we do try to give an exciting atmosphere. So as you noticed at the Michigan State Championship, there are multiple fields set up and multiple MCs and multiple referees to give that play-by-play and make sure that the students have a fair competition. But in the REC Foundation programs, there's even more than that. We start all of our matches, high school matches, with autonomous mode. So the students have 15 seconds to run their autonomous program. And if you win the autonomous match, you get extra bonus points. We also have driver skills. So that's you and your robot for 2 minutes on the field to get the best score possible. And then we have the 100% autonomous skills challenge as well, where it's 100% programmed. And again, you're trying to earn the best score possible in those 2 minutes. And we have
so that. You're not driving those in real time. Those are set up.
Correct. Those are pre-programmed. And so at an REC Foundation competition, you know, you have driver skills, autonomous skills. You actually have the competition itself, which is 2v2 for high school. Our IQ program is a collaborative where two teams play together. And then you also have judging, right? It's more than just the performance of the robot. It's about the design process. It's about the iterative design. It's about creativity. This year, we're really rewarding teams that have innovation and creativity in their designs, right? So we don't want our teams just to go to YouTube and see what the best team's design is. We want them to be creative too. So our teams will go through a judging process. They'll submit their design notebooks. So it's really multiple facets of a competition at one event. So, and I think Kettering does a good job of providing space, providing good judges. Kettering recruits throughout the state of Michigan for the state championship to get professional engineers to be judges. And again, there's also good facilities and stuff like that. So they're a really good host for the event. But again, what Kettering does for the VRC High School Championship, there's three other state championships in Michigan for our programs. Then, of course, we have championship events for our drones program, which Kettering is also hosting. But that is replicated across the country and across the world. So when you go to Nebraska, they have the same thing. If you go to Texas, we actually break Texas up into five regions, and they have the same thing. So that model is replicated across the world. And then the winners of those championship events are what qualify for VEX Worlds.
I get such a kick because I'm sitting there watching, and you got two or three or four robots at one time operating inside a little playing area. They're going back, forward, picking up a ball, whatever they're doing, back, forward, around, bumping into each other, moving around. And it reminds me of the supermarket parking lot. If people put a rope around it and said, everybody go at once. And it's really kind of fun. Tell me a little bit. I want to go to drones, and I also want to go to REC. Let's hold the drones for a second and tell me a little bit about REC Foundation, which you're head of. And I want to stop again and say that we're talking to Dan Mance, a Kettering grad who is head of the REC Foundation out of Texas and sponsoring the VEX Robotics World Championships. So, Dan, tell us again about the REC Foundation, how it started, how it's going, what the nature of it is.
Yeah, so the REC Foundation, we're in our We're in our 14th year, and our mission is to provide educators with the tools that they need to grow STEM and computer science programs. So that's our stated mission, is we provide the resources to the educators. Now, that includes our many coaches and event partners and volunteers. And then we give those resources so that they can teach the students about STEM and workforce development, you know. And our vision, though, is we want to see all students design robots, design drones, actually overcome obstacles and persevere. And we do that through the competition process, as well as education resources such as STEM labs and online virtual reality skills competitions, for example. So again, we're 14 years old. We started as part of VEX Education at the very beginning, right, where VEX was growing and they had an education division. There was a lot of corporate interest in sponsoring the program. So the REC Foundation was initially started to support VEX robotics competitions. I joined the REC Foundation 7 years ago. We realized at the time that the world was more than just STEM. You know, STEM is crucial to everything we do, but there's tens of thousands of technical workforce jobs that needed to be filled too. So at that time, we expanded our mission and vision to include more than just VEX robotics competitions. And we saw a need to interest more students in tech careers through drones and through our workforce development programs, such as industry certifications and our factory automation competitions. So again,
hence you're well-named Robotics Education and Competition Foundation.
Correct. And a lot of times people have said you should come up with something flashier or a simpler, you know, like Global Robotics. And there's a lot of merit to have an easier name to remember, but it really is Robotics Education and Competition Foundation. So while we're best known for our VEX Robotics competition, you know, we partner with VEX Education, for example. We partner with our drones partners to provide education resources to our teachers too. It's very important to remember that the limiting factor in these competitions is your coaches and your volunteers, right? So we don't charge any of our partners for our education materials. We provide all those resources through the REC Foundation library on how to build a robot, how to program a robot. It's very, very important for us to give those resources to our coaches for free so that they can be successful. And that's the education part. The competition part reinforces the education part. You know, the competition part is hands-on, project-based learning, and it's also a lot of fun. And again, not every student is interested in mobile robotics, right? There's a much stronger time commitment. There's a complexity level and a cost level for mobile robotics. So that's why we knew to reach more students, we needed another entry. And that's why we started our aerial drones competition. So aerial drones competition, to me, is the most equitable STEM technology competition out there because everybody starts with the same drone. At that point, it comes down to collaboration, cooperation, teamwork, communication, comes down to programming your drone. It comes down to practice, right? And then there's people that aren't interested in drones or mobile robotics, but they are interested in getting a job in a manufacturing facility, whether as a robot operator, as a technician. So our factory automation competition using the V5 work cell, again, it teaches basic robot concepts. It teaches, you know, about robot safety, about robot end of arm tooling. It teaches the coordinate system. Really, it's the foundation that our students need in order to go to FANUC Robotics or ABB or Universal or Yaskawa and continue their education. And so, again, the REC Foundation really feels that it's not just about preparing students for STEM jobs, but for technology jobs in general. And we provide multiple programs to support that.
Well, I think that, one of the things you talk about is affordable, accessible, and sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that speaks to robotics generally in terms of, what you provide for people. So tell me a little bit about the drone. Again, I assume the drone happens outside, not inside. Are there any inside drone competitions, or are they all out in a field somewhere?
Well, that's actually what's unique about the REC Foundation drones competitions is they're all inside. So in 2019, again, we had a vision at the REC Foundation. We needed to reach more students. And we actually talked to a small drone competition in Ohio, and they asked if we would host that competition for them. And it was inside. And when we did our research, we realized that most drones competitions were outside, and we wanted something that was a lot more accessible for students. So we have two drones competitions. The first one is a small 100-gram drone. It doesn't require any netting, so you can run it inside any school gym. It's very, very safe, but we still provide a field. And the other thing is, while we have a component of drones flying skills, and that's kind of like drones racing. We purposely don't compete against drones racing. We are a task-based competition. So the idea is to use your drone to manipulate objects. And then we have an area where it's not visible so that your co-pilot needs to guide you so that you can safely navigate the course and land safely. We have a larger drones competition that was sponsored by Bell, and that is actually combines ground vehicles and the drones. And those are much larger drones, and they are inside netting, but it's still an inside competition. Again, that's task-based. So for example, this past year's competition, the drones had to detect fires. So they had to detect hot spots. And then they either used a mechanism to pick up water, which was actually like small blue balls, and they could dump the water to put out the fire, or they could use laser to put out the fire. And that's
very cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Matter of fact, a Clarkston, Michigan team won the world championship in our Bell competition 2 years ago. So we have a strong presence of that program in Texas, Michigan, Virginia. That's a much more advanced program because it requires 3D printing. The drone's a lot larger. So our aerial drones competition, which is almost at 2,000 teams, and in Kettering, we'll be hosting one of the regional championships in May. That is a very low entry point, and any student can do it. And that's what's so exciting about it. And if you really want that high-end challenge with 3D printing and advanced programming and using, you know, lasers and end-of-arm tooling and stuff like that, that would be our advanced drones program. So we try to hit both markets with our drones programs.
Well, you also said something that suggested to me, you've got, I know you have a program that's 8 years old, girl-powered. You also meet various different ethnicities and demographics and so on. So talk to me about the breadth in that way that the REC Foundation reaches out to.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for asking about that. So our Girl Powered initiative, which is presented by Google, it actually started back in 2016. And the REC Foundation, you know, at that time, there was a shortage of women in STEM. It's every university, every STEM program has acknowledged that we have this gap and women in our programs, right? So the REC Foundation took a hard look. And even though we tried to be diverse, only 24% of our students at that time were young women. And so we started the Girl Powered Initiative, and Texas Instruments supported us our first year and continues to support us. But Google saw this as a good program to help lower the gender gap. So we host workshops across the country. Matter of fact, across the world. I've been to a Girl Power workshop in Singapore, for example. And the idea is to introduce robotics to young women. And it's not just a STEM activity where they learn about STEM. We do invite engineering professionals, technical professionals that are women to these events. But the young ladies actually build robots, program the robot, and then they compete. And that's what these workshops are. And we've had very good success. We're not where we need to be, but in the high school programs, approximately 40% of our students are now young women. But in our elementary program, 50% of the people that participate in our elementary competition are girls. And the idea is that these young women will continue to progress through our programs. They'll pursue STEM careers or technical jobs and really help fill that gender gap. And, you know, we need these jobs to solve the tech job problem that we have in the United States. We need everybody. So the Girl Powered is one initiative, but we are also proud of our Native American initiative. And that initiative is promoted by both Amazon and Google. And we go to reservations across the U.S. and we start robotics teams at these reservations. And they give students that often don't have any exposure to STEM and technology a chance to compete in our program. And we're very, very excited about that initiative. It continues to grow every year. But you talk about other diversity programs. We have many. I mean, one of the ones I'm most proud of is our Deaf and Hard of Hearing initiative that we launched in 2018. And it started with, you know, a small school in Alabama, and now we partner with them, with the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Institute, the STEM Institute. Our goal is to have robotics teams at every school for the deaf in the United States, and we're almost there. And this year, we had well over 120 Deaf and Hard of Hearing teams, and those teams compete in their own competition to qualify for Vex Worlds. But these teams also compete with the general community as well. So we want to make sure that our competitions have support for our deaf and hard of hearing students. So we also partner with the Special Olympics and many other organizations, the Society of Hispanic Engineers, Professional Engineers. We partner with NESB, the National Association of Black Engineers. Again, we try to bring our programs to everybody, because to solve the STEM gap and to solve this technology workforce shortage, we need to be recruiting all students and make sure we give all students an opportunity.
Well, that brings up sort of two related points that we talked about. One is that we've been talking about the world championships in high school and college, but a lot of people don't realize, and you've referenced it to some extent here, that the opportunities that you present are available from kindergarten all the way through the university, and that your focus is, yes, STEM, but STEM as it relates to workforce development, having kids and people ready for the workforce. So talk to me about those two things, the breadth through the academic system from soup to nuts, as it were, and also how your focus is on workforce development.
Yeah, and I'll touch briefly on, you know, our programs that are K through university, right? So we understand that at the earliest elementary programs, that maybe a competition that leads to a county championship or a state competition isn't really what's needed in early elementary. So, you know, we have the VEX 1-2-3 product that we arrange like in-class activities for our students. And then starting in second grade, we have VEX Go, which is very much like our IQ competition. But again, the focus is to build a robot that solves different tasks. But at that level, you're kind of just doing it in your classroom or maybe at the school level, right? And then again, we have the VEX U program that is, you know, more advanced. It's, you know, artificial intelligence, high-end programming, et cetera. So there's different needs at different levels. But the entire idea is to create an ecosystem of kindergartner through university that each of these programs builds on each other. And the idea is to capture these students in early elementary school, get them excited about technology, get them excited about, you know, robotics and drones and stuff like that, so that they'll continue for that. And we don't have an expectation that everybody needs to support a STEM or technology career. I mean, the idea is to expose everybody to it because it's going to be such a part of our life. As far as workforce development, you know, I am a graduate of Kettering University. It was GMI. I graduated in 1991, so that explains the gray hair, right?
You look like you graduated in 2011 to me.
Oh my goodness. I will buy you a drink, Tim, but thank you for that. But no, I'm a 1991 graduate of Kettering, but what's unique about me, I think, is I grew up in rural Pennsylvania. So I had no connections to the auto industry, but I was involved in junior achievement, and JA had an agreement with GMI at the time. And through junior achievement, I found out about GMI. And you know, I was the first person from my area to ever go to GMI. But where I grew up, not many people went to college. A lot of us were farm boys, rural. But a lot of people I grew up with did go to trade schools. And I tell the story often that, you know, there was a group of five of us that, even though we had, you know, large acres of land and small, what were called gentlemen's farms, we were all within biking distance of each other. And I was the only one of the five that went to college, but two of my friends became machine tool operators. You know, one became a diesel mechanic and one went into HVAC, and all of them have had very strong, fulfilling careers. And so when I joined the REC Foundation, you know, after my career at Fanuc Robotics and after my years as president of Rack Solutions, when I joined the REC Foundation, those lessons from rural America always stood with me. And I realized not everybody needs to go to college to fill these jobs that we desperately need. And so at the REC Foundation, through our factory automation competition, we basically provide an educational pathway for these students to learn about robotics and manufacturing. And we also offer industry certifications where students, through their experiences in our programs, and more importantly, through their experiences in their classroom, can take an exam and be certified in either pre-engineering or robotics. And we feel that we are providing pipelines for these students to get these tech jobs. One of the accomplishments I'm most proud of is our collaboration with Tesla. So, everybody knows who Tesla is and everybody knows who Elon Musk is. But when they built their gigafactory north of Reno, Nevada, to make the batteries for all these vehicles, they didn't have the workforce that they needed. So they partnered with the REC Foundation to do these robotics labs and provide these pathways for these students. So Tesla starts recruiting students their senior year. During that summer, they pay for them. They provide room and board, provide wages for these students to start their journey. And some of these students still go directly to college. Many start working in the factory, but they're provided an opportunity to earn industry certifications or to get a two-year degree, which advances to a four-year degree. And the REC Foundation supports these programs by providing staff and training and the technology products to support this training. And that is an overall solution to provide people for the workforce. And I've actually met students that coming out of high school, started at the Tesla internship program, really weren't interested in getting a degree, but earned a certification, started a two-year program, and now they're going to become degreed engineers. And meanwhile, they're being paid by Tesla to work at their factories with high-skilled jobs. And so they're paid, and then their education is also paid. So they earn degrees without having to be in debt. And I think that's a really important pathway.
So, by the way, I know Tesla is a sponsor of the upcoming competition. Mm-hmm. Tell me a few of the other sponsors, because it's an impressive list.
Yes. Well, our presenting sponsor is Northrop Grumman Foundation, the large aerospace company. They have been our sponsor, presenting sponsor for close to 10 years now. And I'll say that people think of Northrop Grumman, as an aerospace company, but they also have a lot of manufacturing jobs. They have manufacturing plants across the U.S. that build the aircraft and the other products that they do. So they're our presenting sponsor. We talk about Tesla. Of course, we talk about Google. We talk about NASA. NASA has been a supporter of our program and many of the programs out there, and it's really exciting. The REC Foundation, as we enter our 15th year, now have people that have progressed through our program, have earned degrees, and now work for NASA and Tesla and Northrop Grumman and other Fortune 50 companies, right? Other sponsors include Kettering University, for example. There are our primary education sponsor, and many other companies have contributed over the years. Dell's a good example. Every company gives different levels of money, but they're all important to our mission. We have Amazon, which is a big supporter of our Native American initiatives. So, and this year for the first time, Eaton is a sponsor at VexWorld. So if you're in the auto industry, you're probably familiar with Eaton, and they came to VexWorlds last year and really liked our programs. And now they're one of our largest sponsors for the championship this year.
And some of the armed forces branches are sponsors, am I right?
That is correct. So we're very fortunate to partner with the Army, with the Air Force, Space Force. And I do get asked sometimes, I'm like, well, what's it say that you have these military, sponsors for your events? But a lot of technology, comes from the military, right? If we think about sure. The internet and the growth of so many of what we consider, vital technologies for how we live today. These were developed in the military. So, it's really important that we engage with the Navy and with the U.S. Army and with Space Force. They provide a lot of pathways for these students for these jobs. And again, it's a way for students to get these tech skills, which is not expensive. You can join the Army, you can join the Navy, and they will teach you the skills and they'll provide the funding that you need to earn a industry certification or a 2 or 4 year degree. So I'm very proud of our partnerships with the armed forces, even if some people question, is there a place for, them in our ecosystem? Because again, technology jobs, there are as many as in the armed forces as there is in private workforce.
Well, now I know that, and moving a little bit to the applications, I know you provide different things, of course, to different levels. But if I'm an administrator at a school and I want a program in my school, I know you provide hardware and programs, but what do I get, roughly speaking? As I say, it's different in all ones. And how do I get it?
Yeah, so we offer lots and lots of scholarships, right? Lots and lots of grants as well. So the students in our programs, I want to say first, are eligible for over $100 million in academic scholarships through our university partners. But that's not what you asked. What you asked is, okay, I'm listening to this. I'm interested in bringing a drones team or a robotics team to my school. The easiest thing to do is go to recf.org. So again, recf.org. And if you hit the about button, it's really, really easy. We navigate you on, you know, why robotics. We say contact us, and we have information on our grants to start new teams. And this past year, through the generosity of NASA and Google and Northrop Grumman, we were able to start over 1,000 new teams by providing grants, and also help sustain, you know, over 1,000 teams, you know, second or third year teams, by providing them stipends and training and equipment. And all that, if you go to the recf.org and click contact us, it brings up information on starting a team. It'll also bring up a global map. And if you click on the United States, it explodes to every state. And then you click on the state, and that will tell you who your RECF contact is for your state. So you send them an email or give them a call, and they'll walk you through the process. So,
and you mentioned something about 100 million. Go back.
Yeah.
To that.
So this past year, our students were eligible for over $100 million in college scholarships. Wow. You know, and so, you know, colleges are actively recruiting students from our programs, not just because of their tech skills, but honestly, a lot because of their problem solving skills, their teamwork skills. I mean, you know, I won't say the university, but they told us that the students from the VEX Robotics competition were their top performing freshmen, because at the REC Foundation, we really believe in the student-centered philosophy. So our students build and program the robots themselves. Of course, we have coaches, and the coaches are vital to what we do. But the actual building and programming of the robots must be done by the students. And some of the top engineering universities across the world love our students because of this hands-on approach. They say they come right in as freshmen, and they understand how to build robots, how to problem solve, how to troubleshoot. And more importantly, they're really, really good teammates, right? Because they've worked with their teammates for the course of their high school careers, and they know how to collaborate and get on. So we want our students, again, many of our students will choose to go into engineering and tech programs. And for those students that want a different path, we offer opportunities for co-ops and internships with some of the leading companies in the United States.
Well, before we, it strikes me that in anything like this, of course, they're going to learn robotics, they're going to learn technology, but you also learn a variety of ancillary skills like teamwork and competition and things like that, which are almost as valuable sometimes, particularly for those kids that don't go into careers in technology. They've still learned a lot of ancillary things just by the competitions.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've said this, you know, I remember giving a speech, actually it was in Tesla in Nevada, I think it was 2018. And the REC Foundation collaborates with a lot of the other programs out there. For example, you know, MATE, Underwater Robotics, we have a really good collaboration with them. And I think that whether it's Best Robotics or First Robotics, the REC Foundation, MATE, any of these programs, I think we would all agree that the best skill set our students get is what we used to call the soft skills. We're kind of now saying it's really your workforce skills, but that is the collaboration, the teamwork, the problem solving. Because even in my own career, I've hired a lot of engineers when I was with FANUC. I hired engineers and other staff when I was president of Rack Solution. But I always felt that we could train and give them the skills. But what we really wanted was someone who had a good work ethic and really could collaborate and work well with others and communicate, right? So Those are probably the most important skills that we give our students. Like, you know, FANUC can teach students how to program a robot. You know, ABB can train their workforce on how to replace robot parts and stuff like that. So we give that foundation of communication, problem solving, et cetera.
Well, before we kind of close up, tell me, just give me the thumbnail. It was interesting to learn about your childhood in Pennsylvania. Whereabouts? Where'd you grow up? What town?
I grew up in central Pennsylvania. The closest town to me was a small town called Seven Valleys, and that was even a mile away. From a perspective, York was the largest city. Okay. Harrisburg, maybe people would be more familiar with Harrisburg. That's the area I grew up in.
Okay. Well, then you go to Kettering, mm-hmm. and you're an engineer. So how do you fill in the gap for me, how you get from an engineer to the REC Foundation, to head of the REC Foundation?
Well, actually, my experience in Kettering was definitely non-traditional. So I wasn't at Kettering to be a mechanical engineer, an electrical engineer. It turns out I was pretty good at programming, though. So I had no programming experience in high school, but you know, all freshmen at Kettering took programming, and I was pretty good at it. And I worked for General Motors. I was a co-op at the GM Tech Center in vehicle engineering. And as a student there, I did a lot of IT work. When I graduated, I was at the time General Motors owned EDS, and I went through their training program. And I actually started my career as post-Kettering as an online programmer. I don't want to say tired of that, and I became a data analyst. I actually did that. I had a friend that had started a controls engineering company. He's a Kettering grad as well, and he thought I'd be a good controls engineer. And I'm like, hey, Sam, I'm not an electrical guy, but he says, you're really good at programming. So I did controls. That led me to FANUC. And then at FANUC, your typical career path from controls engineer to program manager I traveled all over the world, and I was offered an opportunity to go into product development. A couple promotions later, I was director of product development. And so I've worked with all the engineering disciples, you know, with engineering, electrical, mechanical, computer science, but I'm not an expert in anything. But I spent 19 years at FANUC and really got to work on a lot of great projects, but I always wanted to run my own company. And then I had an opportunity to move to Texas to run definitely a non-tech company called Rack Solutions. Rack Solutions designs and manufactures products for the data center industry and IT industry. So racks and rails and the infrastructure products that are kind of boring, but I came down there, I had a chance to run that company. And it was really a different change from FANUC and General Motors. And it was while there working for Rack Solutions, I started coaching robotics. And once I was coaching robotics, my closest friend was the president of VEX at the time. And I gave him a lot of opinion based on my experiences at FANUC and how the program could be better. So he asked me to join the board. And once I joined the board, I was hooked. And that's how I ended up becoming the CEO of the REC Foundation. So
That's great. That's great. You probably missed a board meeting and found out you got elected. You got named president. Never miss a meeting. You never know what you're going to end up head of.
It was actually the opposite, Tim. I went to a board meeting and I had a list of all the things that I thought they needed to change. And so they're like, well, we think maybe you should leave Rack Solutions and join the REC full time. So it's interesting because, you know, 19 years at FANUC Robotics, almost 20 years at FANUC Robotics. I never thought I'd work for a not-for-profit, but I feel like I've come full circle from being a controls engineer and leading development of some of the most advanced technologies in the world. I mean, at FANUC, I had a chance to earn patents and work on leading ed technology, and now being in the not-for-profit sector, helping prepare our students for these jobs in the future. So I feel like my career has gone full circle. And I also feel it's very aligned with my education at Kettering too, because I think, you know, Kettering isn't just a traditional engineering university. I mean, therefore, I think Kettering's purpose is to prepare students for careers in technology and business, right? I think that's what's been great about Kettering is we're preparing students for more than just engineering jobs. And I think the REC Foundation is very aligned where we're trying to prepare our students for careers in business and technology as well. So I think it's again, full circle, You know, I never would have dreamed when I left Kettering in 1991 that I would be so involved with the university again. You know, I'm on the engineering advisory committee now, and you know, obviously Kettering hosts drones events for us and Dex Robotics events for us. So it's been definitely been full circle. And I think people that knew me as a student back when I was like editor of the technician and stuff like that would be very surprised to see how involved I am again.
Well, I know the university is deeply grateful to you and the support that you at REC Foundation and you personally, I'm sure, have given to Kettering and the opportunities and the partnership that you have in the robotics there, because the students benefit tremendously. I know a lot of things from REC make it possible there. So I know that's a two-way street. Let me ask you one other question that I'm going to move back earlier in the podcast. And then I wanted to ask it before, but I'm going to do that now, and then I'll move it back. And I'll say one thing that I understand and that I find very interesting and admirable is the philosophy of being student-centered. Can you tell me what that means? Because that's what REC Foundation pushes for, or VEX, which...
Yeah, the REC found... So you ask about student-centered, and I would say that's the identity of the REC Foundation programs. So we really believe in hands-on project-based learning, and we feel it's really, really important for our students not just to learn about the engineering design process, but to also experience the engineering design process by doing the work themselves. So while we need strong coaches and mentors in our program, and we're very fortunate that we have that, at the end of the day, we want the students to do the work themselves. So in our program, we have a guide for student-centered, and it's very simple. It's red, yellow, green. And red means that the coaches are doing the work. Yellow means the coaches are assisting and showing and stuff like that. And we strive for our students to get into the green category, where the students are building the robots themselves and programming the robots themselves, and they're leading the discussion on how to design the robot. And there is no wrong or right way to teach robotics and coach robotics, but our identity is that the students do the work themselves. And that's being student-centered is a core part of our programs at the REC Foundation.
Well, Dan Mentz, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, sharing your thoughts and information about the REC Foundation and about the upcoming competition. Before we close out, give me again the particulars of the competition, dates, when, and where, so that we have that, our listeners have that information.
Absolutely. So the VEX Robotics World Championship will be held in Dallas, Texas. It starts on April 23rd, and it goes all the way until May 3rd. Again, so April 23rd to May 3rd. It's broken up into our high school program starts first, then it progresses to our middle school, university, and JRTC programs, and it concludes with our IQ middle school elementary programs. And it's open to the public. When you come in, there is lots of activities. Any time, we'll have over 800 teams competing at a time. We'll have over 15,000 students over the course of the 10 days at VEX Worlds. We have opening and closing ceremonies. And one of the highlights of the VEX Robotics World Championship is we will unveil next year's games at the end of the competition. So that's a huge event. All the students are excited to see what next year's games are. And you know, remember, we're not just a United States program. So we unveil our games, you know, in early May, so that our programs that are in Australia or Singapore that will actually be in school during our summer have a chance to also experience our program and compete. So hope to see many of you in Dallas. And if you can't make it to an event in Dallas, as I said earlier, we have over 3,000 competitions through the course of our season. Every state has multiple events. So please check out an event in your local area.
Well, I can speak from personal experience that if you want a shot of adrenaline and excitement and a good time, go to one of these competitions. If you can make Dallas, great. If you can't, they're all over the place, Kettering and everywhere else. So, and by the way, is there any online streaming of the Dallas event?
Absolutely. Every single match will be streamed. I actually do not know the link off the top of my head, but if you go to the recf.org site, there's lots of links to Vex World's activities, including cool. a link to the streaming. But we will stream every single match, the opening ceremonies, the closing ceremonies. We start our opening ceremonies with a Parade of Nations, and that's where we recognize the over 70 countries that will participate. So those countries will come out in many cases wearing the attire that they're known for and carrying their national flag. And it's a great way to launch it. It's very much like the Olympics. If you've watched an opening ceremony for the Olympics, that's what our Parade of Nations is for the Vex Robotics World Championship.
Very cool. Well, Dan, again, thank you. And we'll look forward to it. And good luck with the competition this year and everything else you're doing. Thanks for joining us.
Tim, again, thanks for having me. It's quite the honor to be part of this series of podcasts that you do. So thank you again.
Join us again to hear Kettering University's podcast, Horsepower to Hyperloops. Available from wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks for listening.